Time for World Sport now from the BBC. Hello, I'm Martin Fuchs. Coming up, Alan Shearer is to be the manager of Newcastle until the end of the season.
The fans will be, they'll be out celebrating now. As soon as they hear the news, they'll be out in the streets celebrating. Like, you know, they'll believe that the God has returned again.
The reaction of former Newcastle player Kevin Gallagher. We look ahead to a busy programme of World Cup qualifying coming up, including South against North Korea. And we're live at the Masters Tennis in Miami, where the world's top men are playing for quarter-final places. Newcastle United will today confirm the appointment of their former goal-scoring legend Alan Shearer as manager until the end of the season. Shearer will be the replacement for Joe Kinnear, who's been unable to work since undergoing heart surgery in February. Assistant Chris Hughton has looked after the team since then, but has been unable to stop them dropping into the Premier League relegation zone. Here's our senior football reporter, Ian Dennis.
Alan Shearer has 8 games to save Newcastle from relegation and will be in sole charge after answering this sensational SOS. He has never made any secret of his desire to manage his hometown club, but it always seemed unlikely while owner Mike Ashley was at the helm. On Tyneside, the threat of relegation has caused concern. The reality of relegation will be catastrophic. So Ashley has turned to Shearer, an appointment which is sure to galvanise the club, starting with Saturday's visit of Chelsea.
Well, Alan Shearer has been working for BBC Television on their Match of the Day programme throughout Newcastle's recent problems. According to another former Tyneside favourite, Kevin Gallagher, his return as manager will have the fans dancing in the streets.
The fans will be, they'll be out celebrating now. As soon as they hear the news, they'll be out in the streets celebrating. Like, you know, they'll believe that, you know, it's another, the God has returned again, you know. It's one of those things. That's the way they look at Alan Shearer, you know. He's just so high in the pedestal in Newcastle, you know. It's just one of those things now. They just hope now that Alan can turn that around on the football pitch for them.
Another round of World Cup qualifiers is already underway. We'll be looking at games to come in Asia and Europe later. But the action has started in South America, where Venezuela are playing Colombia. To bring us up to date, here's our South American reporter, Tim Vickery.
10 minutes into the second half when Puerto does Venezuela 0, Colombia 0. Venezuela have never been to the World Cup, and it's not looking likely this time. Colombia haven't been since 98 and need a win to keep in touch with the leaders. But they face an uphill task. Their midfielder Aguilar was sent off after 25 minutes with some early tackles flying between these local rivals. Colombia still looking for the win. They've changed the system, trying to get their right back Zuniga forward where he's dangerous. But their 10 men will have to dig very deep to keep the World Cup dream alive. 34 minutes to go to Puerto Rico. Venezuela 0, Colombia 0.
Thank you, Tim. One of the most highly charged World Cup qualifiers will be between South and North Korea in Seoul. Tension between the countries is running high, and the teams are separated by just 2 points. North Korea, who are looking to reach the World Cup finals for the first time since 1966, head the group. But the BBC's correspondent in Seoul, John Sudworth, says the atmosphere at these games is rather different to most others.
In the past, what's happened when the two teams have met, South Koreans have actually been encouraged to wear the North Korean colours and carry a kind of neutral flag and come along and cheer for the North Koreans out of a sense of brotherly patriotism, if you like. I think there'll be less of that during this game because of the fact that there's so much significance. The home fans also, it must be said, are rather polite at these occasions. I think you don't get the kind of rivalry and animosity that you would if South Korea was playing Japan, for example. There isn't that kind of that sort of banter and sense of competition. There is a sort of mutual respect in a sense that these are two halves of the same nation that are playing. So it's a very peculiar experience watching these two teams play.
And still in the Asian zone, Australia will be the first team to qualify for next year's World Cup if results go their way. The Socceroos need to beat Uzbekistan in Sydney and hope that Bahrain and Qatar draw. Well, there are also 23 qualifying matches in the European zone. Chris Dennis picks out the highlights.
Two giants of Italian football will go head-to-head in Bari, where Marcello Lippi's world champions meet the Republic of Ireland, managed by Giovanni Trapattoni. He's described the match as David against Goliath. Italy lead Ireland by 2 points at the top of Group 8. Northern Ireland, the surprise leaders of Group 3, go into their match against Slovenia full of confidence after a terrific 3-2 win over Poland on Saturday. Slovakia in second place meet their neighbours, the Czech Republic, in third. The France coach Raymond Domenech has urged the fans to get behind the players as they look to get their qualification campaign back on track. The team, which was jeered after recent poor performances, can move up from third to second in Group 7 if they beat Lithuania in Paris. The Group 2 leaders Greece meet Israel for the second time in 4 days, hoping to bounce back from the disappointment of being held to a draw on Saturday. Israel are in third place, aiming to reach their first World Cup final since 1970. And England and Germany will look to preserve 100% records and top spot in their groups, with victory over Ukraine and Wales respectively.
Well, now to Miami, where most of the world's top men tennis players are in action today. Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray were among the early qualifiers for the last eight. And we now know that Roger Federer will face a repeat of his quarterfinal last year against Andy Roddick. Right now on court, it's the world number one, Rafael Nadal. So let's get the latest from our reporter, David Law.
Yes, it's no stranger for Nadal to face a Swiss player on court, and that's what he's often doing against Roger Federer. This time he's up against Stanislas Wawrinka, the compatriot of Roger Federer. And it's a tricky start for Nadal at the moment. He's had break points to face already. Wawrinka's been hitting a wonderful one-handed backhand with great authority and causing Nadal some difficulty on the baseline. It's 3-2 in the first set for Stanislas Wawrinka. It's still on serve, but you get the feeling that under the lights here in Miami, Nadal may have his work cut out.
Thank you, David. David Law reporting. The former England cricket captain, Kevin Peterson, has insisted he remains committed to playing for his country, despite asking if he could return home for 48 hours during the current tour of West Indies. He wanted to leave the team during the Test series. He was refused and now accepts that his request wasn't a good idea.
I did it through the right channels, as I always do things. I requested something, sat down with the management, and we decided that it probably wouldn't be a good idea because it set probably not a good precedent for the team going forward. So we moved on straight away from there. There was no arguments, there was no nonsense, there was no disappointment on my behalf. It was just take it on the chin. That's the thing. And I've been totally supportive of every single thing that's happened on this tour, and I still am. And I still want to win on Friday and take a trophy home with England.
Afghanistan's cricketers take another step along the road towards their first ever World Cup on Wednesday when they play their opening match in the final round of qualifiers in South Africa. Denmark provide the opposition. Richie Stevens looks at an unlikely sporting success story to emerge from such a war-torn country.
The Afghan players have already progressed through three qualifying phases of the World Cup to reach this far, but now they'll be amongst the big boys and the non-test playing countries. The final stages are being played in South Africa. 12 teams, including Afghanistan, have been split into two groups of six. The Afghans' first opponents are Denmark, and they must finish in the top four to qualify for the Super 8 phase. A top four finish in that will mean they'll have their dream ticket to the World Cup finals to be staged in the subcontinent in 2011. Now, victory against Denmark in their first match is crucial because it would leave them needing just one more victory to make the Super 8 phase. Before arriving in South Africa, the Afghans trained in Pakistan, where many of the squad honed their skills in refugee camps and used the shells of downed helicopters as changing rooms. What a fairy tale story it could turn out to be.
In athletics, Usain Bolt and the rest of Jamaica's Olympic-dominating sprint team are preparing to take on the best from the United States. In an attempt to boost track and field in non-Olympic years, the two countries will meet in a challenge series starting next year. Before we go, our top story again. Newcastle United will today appoint their former goal-scoring legend Alan Shearer as manager until the end of the season. Newcastle are in the Premier League's relegation zone with 8 games to play. And that's the BBC Sport.